Let's first look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the great I Am, the way, the truth, and the light of the world, the true vine, those many things he spoke as of himself. We just thank you, Lord, for who he is. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here in his name and open thy word. We ask that you be with those that are listening, those that may be your children, that might be encouraged. And Father, we pray for those that hear this word today that may not be one of your children, that they might be convicted by your Spirit and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ask for your guidance today as we pray in his name. Amen. It's good to be with you again. We're in John chapter 16 as we're going through the Gospel according to John. Chapter 16 is still in the midst of the upper room ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching his disciples. By way of reminder again, chapters 13 to 16 plus the high priestly prayer that we'll look at in chapter 17 is what we refer to often as the upper room ministry. He had gone with his disciples to an upper room for the last Passover, for that particular feast that was a feast for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament economy. And yet, as he partook of that last Passover, which he at the same time was initiating the Lord's Supper, which we now know as a remembrance feast, because we look back to the death of Christ. And of course, the Passover was looking in anticipation of Christ, of course, and also tied in with the Passover there when the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, was in the foreign country of Egypt, and the Lord told them to put blood over the doors and on the lintels, on the doorposts, and those that by faith believed God and did this, we know that the death angel passed over that household, and their firstborn was spared. So we see the Passover, and then we see Israel had a remembrance of that time by the feast of the Passover. Now, we see in John 16, part of this upper room ministry, after they had broke bread together, he taught them. Chapter 13, we see the teaching of fellowship. Chapter 14, we see the Comforter. Chapter 15, we see Christ said, "Abide in me." He spoke of himself as the true vine. And now we find ourselves back in chapter 16 with a subject similar to chapter 14, the Comforter, the Spirit of God being spoken of again, but this time with a little more teaching along that line. The Comforter, the Spirit of God, taught in chapter 14 now is brought back to the attention of the disciples, brought back to our attention, this time with the phrase, "a little while." See, the Scripture would teach by the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples here that he was going away, and as he did, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, that is, would come in his place, another Comforter. And he said, "But I will be back a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me." So this is the theme of chapter 16, a little while. Now, as we consider chapter 16, we need to look at the end of chapter 15 to find the context here. The end of chapter 15, after he had already spoke of himself as being the true vine, told the disciples to abide in him. He said, "Abide in me." He spoke of bearing fruit, and in that he said there was ones that would bear no fruit, more fruit, and ones with much fruit. And as the exhortation of abiding in him was to produce much fruit. We see that he then speaks about the great example of much fruit, and that is the love of God. And then in the third section of John 15, he speaks of the contrast of the love of God. He speaks of the hatred of the world. So as he's teaching in John 15 about himself being the true vine and that we need to abide in him and produce much fruit, and yet the exhortation was for that, yet he explains the opposite being the hatred of the world, and that's the closing portion of John 15. So in light of the hatred of the world, verses 18 to 27 of chapter 15, we begin to understand a little bit about the beginning of John 16. After he spoke of the hatred of the world, as he said, quoting from the Psalms, he said, "They hated me without a cause," in 15:25. And now in chapter 16, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended or stumbled. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Notice in those first six verses, he was speaking about the fact he did not want them to stumble, and that there would be sorrow to fill their hearts. And we see again, this ties in with what he had just closed out the previous chapter, teaching of the hatred of the world. Yes, the world will hate those that are the Lord's. The world is at complete enmity with the things of Christ. And we that are his, we will be hated of the world. So we see here, he says, he does not desire that we be offended. Verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended or stumbled. They shall put you out of the synagogues." So we see that he was encouraging them not to stumble, because the people of the world, the religious people of the world, those that had rejected Christ, would put them out of the synagogues, would not liken the things of Christ to be in their midst. So we see that as the Lord encourages them not to be stumbled or offended, he says, "Sorrow hath filled your heart." And that's why he said these things, he says in verse 6. But notice, instead of sorrow, the very next verse gives us the great encouragement. Instead of having sorrow, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So in light of the sorrow and the stumbling that he is exhorting them not to take heed to, he says, "I will send you another Comforter." So what we have here is, notice with me, 11 times in this chapter 16 that this phrase, "these things," are mentioned. We read it quite a few times in the first six verses. These things. So he keeps emphasizing, "These things have I said unto you." Now he is giving much teaching. He's exhorting them. He's teaching them. He is preparing them as the church age is coming and drawing very near. The only thing that we would see between the upper room ministry and the church age would be the necessity of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his ascension back to heaven, for then the Spirit of God would come, as we read early in the book of Acts, when the Spirit of God would come, and at this time we see the beginning of the church age. So he's preparing them, he's preparing these ones for the beginning of the church age, as he teaches them these various, very important subjects in the upper room ministry, teaching them of fellowship, of the Spirit of God, of abiding in Christ, and that he would come back in a little while. Now, as we consider these things, John 17 is the chapter of the high priestly prayer of Christ, and in that chapter we've been noting that each of the themes in the chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 in the upper room ministry, each of the themes of those chapters can be tied in and linked to that prayer that Christ prayed after he taught the disciples. Now when we think of chapter 16, we think of joy. We think of verse 13 in chapter 17. We would read that, and now come I to thee, as he's praying to the Father. In these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So as he's praying for those disciples and for the believers to come, in verse 13 of John 17, he speaks of his joy being fulfilled in themselves. Now this connects us with the theme of chapter 16. He says, a little while, and I will see you, you will see me. Speaking of his return, but yet the great underlying theme of his return is in the meantime, and at the coming of the Lord, we should have joy. Joy is mentioned many times, a few times rather, here in chapter 16. We'll see that later on in the study. But again, as we remember that John 14 also spoke of the Spirit of God, and it spoke of how, as we looked a little bit at the subject of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit had many promises tied in with it. We see how it spoke of how the Spirit of God would abide with you and how it would be in you. We see how we would be sealed unto the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. So we see many wonderful truths by the Spirit of God. So he's again telling us the Comforter will come as he goes away. Now, as we look at our outline, we would see 3 points as we'd like to break this chapter down. Verses 8 to 11, we see the Comforter brings conviction. Verses 12 to 30, we see the Comforter brings truth. And finally, we see in verses 31 to 33, the Comforter brings peace. Now, as we go on into our study, we see these 3 points brought forth. The Comforter bringing conviction, bringing truth, and bringing peace. As we just close out today's message, we just say, thank you for joining us, and it's a wonderful truth if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can say with the disciples that, yes, a little while, and we shall see him. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry with our Bible study program. We'd like to say if you'd like to contact us this week, we'd be greatly encouraged. If you'd like to just talk with us, have any questions or comments, phone number this week is 824-5525, or you could write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour, North Carolina. Thank you and have a good day.